Hicks. Well, not founded, but they're involved in founding those. Thus, Hicksville, Ohio, and Hicksville, New York. Hicksville's a town of about 4,000, a little bit smaller than Huntington. And I have been there, Bobby and I have been there 9 years now. Started with the church of about six. And we exploded to 70 for a little while. And now we're back down to a smaller little church of, 30 is a good Sunday morning for us. But that's church, isn't it? That's a little bit church. When I got saved, in a house church, a little house with about two families in it. We had 10 people there, and I'm going to try to give my testimony a little bit later. But my call into ministry was, I'm going to stay in small churches. Small churches is where I need to be. Our church that I got saved in, he either fed the pastor and didn't do any ministry, or he did ministry and the pastor and his family starved to death. That was the choices. So, yeah, right, you guys, right, Phil? Yeah, that's it. So, I retired from General Motors. The church doesn't have to worry so much about taking care of me and our family, so we can do ministry. So we can continue to fulfill what God has called the church to do. Because that's a big part of what I want to talk about today. We're going to continue. We're going to continue down the road, the path, the avenue, the direction that God has for each and every one of us. I recently got back from Cuba. Yes, I went. Yes, you can go to Cuba. If you wish to go to Cuba with me, you can go. Hopefully next year I get to go. However, I'm not so sure that I can continue, because all my contacts that I have in Cuba, I have friends. This is like 10 different times I've been there now. I have friends there, really close friends. But I'm not sure I can continue to go back to Cuba, because all my contacts and my friends are getting out of Cuba and coming to the United States. The greatest phrase in Cuba now, the greatest joke in Cuba now, is I'll see you at the Rio Grande. Down in Texas, Rio Grande into the, from Mexico into the Texas. People are leaving Cuba. And if anybody in here keeps a journal or a prayer list, I beg you to pray for the people of Cuba. Food is difficult. Medicine is practically non-existent. I sat and watched them wait 2 days for to fill up their propane tanks so they can cook. You don't have gas in your house, you have propane. And there's men standing out there in the rain 2 days waiting for to get propane. Because if you're last in line, you might not get any. I beg you to pray for the people of Cuba. It's very, very difficult. I arrived in Cuba, and 3 days later, the entire country went black. No power. 3 days, an entire country, no electricity. We continued. We moved forward. I visited churches and helping pastors. But I'll quit, because I'll talk about Cuba all night long and won't get to my point. But if you have your Bibles, if you would, I'd like to read to you and then talk about just a little bit. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. I'm going from 12 to 18. Let me read this to you. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without... Oh, here we go. You guys might not invite me back next week. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold firm the word of life. In order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing, But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering, Paul writes, like it's all over with, on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you are a mighty God. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you care for us. I thank you that you build a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. Lord, help us to hunger and thirst for that direction and guidance that you have for us. Help us to follow you like little children. Help us to be committed. Help us to trust you. Help us to increase our faith. Help us to believe, stronger and deeper each day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities. I thank you for our time here. I thank you for the hearts that are here. Lord, I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. This section starts off with, therefore. So what happens when you read therefore? You got to go back and see what the therefore is, right? The therefore starts off with, I always love this part, verse 5 in Philippians 2, it says, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness. All right, that's it. That's the message. Your attitude should be good, the same as Christ Jesus. Go forth and sin no more, and we're off and we're about. If I can do that, I'm doing pretty well, aren't I? But that's why we're here tonight, is it not? That's why we come here tonight, Sunday, Wednesday, and the continuing days to have the same attitude, actions, mindset, and direction that Jesus has. Then that section goes on, the therefore part that we're trying to figure out. Had the same attitude as Christ Jesus, which humbled himself, was a servant to the Father, humbled himself so much, he went to the cross for you and I. That's the attitude, the mindset, the servant attitude that Jesus had and that we should take on. Matter of fact, Philippians 2:3, which I think is a part of that therefore part, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility. Value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you in the interests of others. With those kinds of mindsets, goals, this is what I want to strive for. And this is Christianity, isn't it? This is not easy. Christianity is not for the weak of heart. But this is what I strive for. This is the goal that I have. This is what I pray and I ask God to build into my heart each and every day. Then comes, therefore, my dear children, always obey. And he's praising the Philippian church. You've been obedient. And you're obedient just by being here today. Most of the world's out there watching, Monday Night Football or something or another, right? You're here for the purpose, I hope, to learn a little bit more about Jesus, to grow in your faith. And that next line that we're going to stop here and talk about, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's always been an interesting piece of scripture for me. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, but a gift of God. Not by works, so nobody can brag about it, right? But we work out our salvation with fear and trembling because we serve an almighty God. And working out that salvation, his obedience, his trust, his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy, forget it. I can't list it all. It's right here. Here's working out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? Working out your salvation with fear and trembling is continually putting biblical principles into action. We strive, not that we can do it perfect, because I'm not going to get there, not until I get to go home. But I strive, I hunger, I thirst for God to work in me and for me to follow His path. That's working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And that fear and trembling is not, we shouldn't be terrified of God. He's a loving God. We can call Him Daddy and Abba Father, but He's a just God. And He disciplines His children, right? If you have children or grandchildren, you're going to discipline sometime, and that's teaching them. I had a neighbor one time, the kid was like, I don't know, 6 years old, who lived out in the country a little bit, but everybody come by our house doing about 50. And he was out there in the middle of the road playing with rocks or toys or something. And she goes storming out there, grabs him, drags him out of the road, and he's kicking and screaming and everything else. Is she a bad mom? Well, of course not. She's a good mom. A bad mom would leave him playing out there in the road. God loves you and is going to have to discipline you sometimes. Church, right? Is that our theme this week, is the church? And we understand that we are the church and everybody's valuable. Everybody's necessary. Everybody's a, I always say, I think it's a, you're a spoke in the wheel of called the church. And what happens when a couple of those spokes are a little wobbly or broken? The wheel don't work so good, does it? Yeah. And that's you. When you're not working at full throttle for Jesus, the church doesn't work as well either. That's God's design. That's God's purpose for each and every one of us. And the church is designed to help you, to help me, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Continue down that path that God has called you to. God's called you first into His family as sons and daughters. And God's called you into responsibilities. Yeah, I think that's a good word. He's called you into responsibilities. And this church and the churches throughout Huntington and even into Ohio need you to continually to grow, to mature, and to learn what God is going to do with you. That's what you want, isn't it? When I first got called into the ministry, I got saved, and a couple years later I was called into the ministry, and the pastor, when I got saved, talked about this plan and the purpose that God has for me. And I wanted that plan. I wanted that purpose. I wanted it bad. And I searched the scriptures. I read, I prayed, and I read, and I prayed. And finally, ministry comes about. And can I tell you one little story? I finally told T.B. Smith I was going to be called into the ministry. And I knew if I told T.B. Smith I called into the ministry, he's going to have me preaching in a couple weeks, which I'm completely unprepared for. And my wife, I tell my wife, I think I want to be a pastor. And she goes, oh, isn't that cute? That he's so cute, right, Jen? Right? That's so cute. He said, aw. So we finally, I tell TV, we go up to Huntertown. And I kind of laid down the fleece to the Lord a little bit. You know the story of Gideon where he lays the fleece out and he kind of says, God, if this is true, then do a certain thing. And that's kind of what I did. I said, God, I really think you called me in the ministry and I need this time. This is my first time I'm really preaching. And God, I really need it to go well. And if it goes well, you know, I'll kind of reaffirmed, you know, and supported that I'm going to be called in the ministry. It goes well, and I really, you know, feel that God called me in ministry, and here I am 15, 20 years later. But I get in the car, and we're going home. My wife looks at me with those eyes, Jen. I'm going to be a pastor's wife. And she's terrified. And she'll tell you that story too. But we're going to continue down the road that God has called you to. And you got a calling. You have a road. You have a path in this church, in this community, which God has called you to. So continue to work out our salvation. Continue to apply biblical principles to our lives each and every day. Continue to put into practice what God is trying to teach you. Continue to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Continue to love your neighbor as yourself. Continue to practice kindness. Continue down that road to practice justice and truth. continue down that road to practice generosity and love and grace. Continue down the road and work out our salvation with understanding. As I look at the world today, I don't understand it very well. This piece of scripture says it's a dark and depraved world. And sometimes I don't think I can understand it. But that's not the point. The point is that we're all in different positions, different spots, different role, or different spots in our journey down the road that God has for us. And we have to understand that everybody's a little bit different. And everybody has a different road and a different place. We're all needed and all valuable. But we got to understand where this person is at. Once I understand where you're at, I don't want to leave you there. I want to move you forward. I want you to come to know Jesus in a real and personal way. I want you to come and know Jesus like you've never known Him before, and He transforms your life. He changes life. God's in the life-changing business, church. And a matter of fact, He's using the church, which is you and I, to be His tool in transforming Huntington and even over in that other state called Ohio. Right? The church is God's plan. The Christian life, the Christian life is the best thing that you can ever imagine for you and your family. I got saved later on in life. I got saved when I was 39 at Huntington Baptist Church. Well, not at Huntington Baptist Church. I got saved in this little itty bitty church. And before, I was in the darkness. I was lost. I always like to say I was about 6'3", 220 pounds. I worked at General Motors, and there wasn't much I didn't get. I got what I wanted by going over you, through you, and I really didn't care. I drank too much. I partied hard. I took advantage of people. And all I did was do the same thing over and over and over again. It's just a never-ending cycle that was going down and nothing but destruction. That was my life. Until Jesus comes along and turns me around 180 degrees. He saved my life. Not the person I was 20 years ago. I don't plan to be the same person 20 years from now either. Continue down the road that God has for you. Continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, putting biblical principles into our practice. And then, New Life Ministries is a shining light throughout Huntington. We are called, commanded to be different. We are called and commanded to shine our light because you're a bunch of crazy Jesus freaks. I'll take that compliment any day I can get it. But I want to be that shining light. And that takes it takes hard work sometimes. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be obedient. I want to trust Him. Oh my gosh, I want to trust Him. I want to have no doubts. Oh gosh, I've got doubts. But it is a process that you are in. I hope you are. It's a process you can be in. With just a little bit of itty-bitty bit of faith that you start with. And God does 99% of the work of transforming you. If He could take this ignorant person that I was, destructive person of my family, my children, and turn me around, and have me standing up here talking about God's Word, God's in the life-changing business. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But that's the goal, church. And then we are the shining light that pushes back the darkness. That's a light that this dark and depraved world needs so badly. I have never seen a world that needs some hope. I've never seen a world that is so afraid, so lost, so going around and around in destruction, that's looking for something, that's looking for Christ, and they really are looking in the wrong places. And God's going to use you as you continue down that path that He has for you to be that shining light. And I don't care how long you've been a Christian, 5 minutes or 50 years, God wants to use you to make a difference. And don't give up. It gets hard. Church is hard. Christianity is not for the weak of heart. But as I've gotten a little older, I'm 63 years old. You know, I'm just not afraid. We cannot be afraid, church, to share the good news of Christ. It transformed your life, did it not? It transformed my life. Or are you going to hoard that good news of Christ for yourself and you want the rest of the people never to know Jesus and never to have their lives saved? I don't know. You don't want to do that. Don't be afraid. Most people in America won't do much. They'll just nod their head. And yeah. We had our fall festival the other day, and I got to share the two young ladies. They were sitting on our bench that was out front of our building, and I was sitting right in front of them. It was only for two people. I had them trapped. They couldn't go anywhere. I had them. And it was just a nice conversation, and I asked them, well, you know, you guys go to church anywhere, and you guys believe in Jesus. My standard question is, do you believe in God? And I said, everybody says they believe in God. Oh, I believe in God. Oh, great. What do you believe? That's a little harder question, isn't it? And I always get this kind of, and then I know. But then I told them nicely and calmly that heaven is available for you. You just need to take a step or two of faith towards Christ. God wants you to come to heaven. You can be assured that there is a heaven out there. You know the good news. Don't hoard it. Share it. And they nodded their head. Did they get saved that day? I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't do the saving anyway, do I? I just share. They're on their way. I've done my job. I've walked down the path. I've continued down the way to work out my salvation, what God has called me to do, what God has called you to do, God has called the church to do. And church, we got to be after it. We got to go down that path. Matter of fact, we got to continue on down that path. Matter of fact, we need to pick up the pace. We got to, not running down the hill out of control, but we have to pick up the pace. We're going to have to be bold. We're going to have to be intentional. We're going to have to be, well, it's just short of the bullhorn thing out on the corner, all right? But I see people in the same situation that I was in, round and round with alcohol, drugs, or whatever it is out there that they're chasing. Because they're chasing for the answers, and they're looking in the wrong places. Jesus is the answer the world needs. You know it, I know it. And the people here in Huntington are looking for it, and we're going to have to be much bolder, church. We've got to be much bolder. What is the penalty for sharing the gospel here in Huntington? There isn't any. However, if you're in Cuba and share the gospel, you need to be a little careful. Otherwise, you might go to jail. But here, we are free. Oh, praise the Lord. We are free to share the good news. And this world needs it. All right, I'm moving forward. Sorry. Without any complaining, where am I at? Oh, yeah. There'd that go. Oops, sorry. Do everything, verse 14, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. Do everything without. Oh, yeah, I forgot about my PowerPoint, guys. Let me go run through those scriptures real quick. How long do I got here? I keep going. Philippians 3:14. Press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called you heavenward in Christ Jesus. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Press on for the goal that God has for you. Church, if you have never shared the gospel with somebody, it's thrilling. Matter of fact, when I got saved, I got one more story. When I got saved at General Motors, and I was had some Bible studies going, and there was one guy that was helping me, you know, mentoring me a little bit, and I shared the gospel with this one guy at General Motors. And he took a track, and he, later on he got saved. He didn't get saved that day. But I went and found my mentor. I pulled him off the fork truck. I pulled him down. I witnessed to somebody. I told the good news. And he was just going, calm down, Steve. Jesus, Pete. But it's thrilling, church. And we're going to have to be intentional. We're going to have to be bold. We're going to have to be confident. And I know that you can do it. You can share the good news. Do everything without complaining or arguing so we can be blameless and pure. 1 Corinthians 15 says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not useless. It's always, serving God is always going to have a good result. That's just fact. I know sometimes you can't see it, but trust in the Lord. Work out your salvation. How about the next one? Where am I at? Hebrews 12:1, I like this one. Therefore, and we're not going to go back and look at the therefore, but therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. It does. Does me, does you, does everybody. It gets us sometimes. It's like when you're swimming in a pond and that seaweed comes up and tickles your feet. Yeah, I know, that's me too. Yeah. And that's that sin trying to kind of grab you and tickle your feet. And you just got to get rid of it. Sin that so easily entangles, let us run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for you, the church here in Huntington, to make a difference and an impact and a shining light. And we do everything without complaining or grumbling. That's a hard one. That's a hard one in the Baptist world. I can tell you that right now. But church, when we argue and complain, and we do, I need somebody to vent to, and unfortunately that's my wife sometimes. I complain and I whine and I cry, but I'm looking for solutions. We can complain and whine and cry for a little while. I get it. But I got to start working for a solution, the answer. Because if there's a problem, I want the answer. And I move towards a relationship problem, a marriage problem, a church problem, let's find a solution. Because then we're working together, have a stronger church, shining the light, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Goes on to say, blameless and pure. Blameless is not perfect. But we live our life, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So the idea that I can't point a finger at Jeremy and say, he did this or he did that, and you're going to go, no way. That's just not him. You're wrong. We work our reputation. We work out our salvation. We follow biblical principles. We're obedient to be blameless, and nobody can point the finger at us. We're going to be pure. An idea is not perfect. Ideas when the gold gets all heated up or a metal gets heated up and you take the junky stuff off of it. And that's what God's trying to do with each and every one of us as we work out our salvation, as we're obedient, as we trust, as we follow, as we're committed. God starts to have that junk that's in our lives comes to the top and he sweeps it away and we're blameless and pure and righteous in God's eyes. Salvation with fear and trembling, church. And then we're that shining light that pushes, that's this spotlight into the town of Huntington. And we make a difference. This world is a crooked and ugly and dark place. And it's looking for a light to shine and make a difference. And God's plan is the church. God's plan is you and me. And the rest of the churches throughout Huntington. Do everything without. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it is, depends on you, live at peace with everyone. All right? Let's find solutions. And then we find peace. Let's find solutions to our broken relationships. Let's find solutions to our broken lives. Let's find solutions to the conflict we have in our families. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men?" That's hard stuff, right? That's not a shining light. That's the world. And we're called to have the same attitude and mindset that Jesus has. Thus, we're going to be loving and caring and work for those solutions that we have. All right, I'm finishing up here, folks. I really am. I promise. This passage has one more point I want to make out. Well, it says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God works in you." Going back to verse 13, because I missed that part, because this is really valuable. "For it is God who works in you and will act according to Pastor Jimmy's good purpose." No. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you for His purpose to walk down His path, to fulfill what He has for your life, for you to be pure and blameless. Yes, you can. And to make a difference here in the village of Hicksville. Make a difference here in Huntington. To be that shining light. Because this passage says to hold firm or to hold out, depending on what your translation is. And one means just to hold firm, hold on to it. And church, that's what gets me through. It's holding on to the gospel, holding on to the good news, holding on to the news that God loves me, cares for me, works in my life, and is going to use me. You're a tool. You're a tool in God, in an almighty God's hands, to make a difference in your own life and the lives of the rest of Huntington. So we hold firm on that. And then the other kind of translation is hold it out there. I want to hold out the gospel. I want to be able to present the good news to somebody that's never heard it before. I was 39 years old, never heard the good news before. Never heard it in my life. And I was bet. I'll bet the farm on there's thousands of people who have never heard the gospel before. Waiting for you to tell. Be bold, church. Hold on to it firmly. Hold it out there like a bright, shining star. Amen. I don't know where you're at today, but today's the day to make a decision. Today's the day to make commitments. You either make commitments to God. No, all the commitments are to God. Number one is to make Him your Lord and your Savior. Number two commitment that you need to make, Christian, that you continue to walk down that path that God has called you to. Continue in faithfulness and humbleness and commitment and dedication. And then we're that shining light and we make a difference here in the city of Huntington. Amen? Amen.